Grace to you. Peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our sermon text today are the words of the gospel reading. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. He comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake. Blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them you would set us apart from the everyday, from the world that we live in that is so mixed up and so darkened by sin. We pray that you would sanctify us, increase our faith with the truth. Your word is true. Elevating in Christ, learning that you're going to be receiving an inheritance. That's the stuff of dreams. People love to think about what they would do if they suddenly had all kinds of money. What would you do? What would you do if all of a sudden you found out that you were going to inherit millions of dollars? Well, if you're like me, probably in the next moment you would be daydreaming, thinking about all the possibilities, what you could do with that. Some of you might think about taking a long cruise finally, going to the South Pacific or the Caribbean or some interesting place like that. Or maybe you would think about a big house, a luxurious house, or a nice car or a boat or who knows what. Some of you might be thinking then about what you could do to help other people, or your church, or your synod. But no matter what you were thinking about, whatever you might choose to think about, it would be a pleasant, joyful anticipation that would fill your thoughts, a joyful anticipation of your wealth. What if I told you that you do have an inheritance? A great wealth that's worth far more than millions of dollars. You who are Christians, you know that you're royalty. You know that you are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know that one day soon you will inherit all things because your Father in heaven has promised you that. You're heirs of eternal life. You're heirs of heaven. You're heirs of all things because for the sake of his son's sacrifice for you, by grace, God has adopted you into his family. He has put his name upon you in holy baptism, and he's prepared a home for you. When Jesus spoke the words of our sermon text, he was speaking to disciples who were worried about many things. They were concerned that they wouldn't have enough for their lives. They were concerned that they wouldn't have enough life for the things that they did have. They were worried about all these things. They were like us. We share those same fears. Because like them, we simply cannot imagine. We cannot imagine that the God we've offended over and over again with our sins is a God who is so gracious, so loving and kind, that he would forgive us all our sins for the sake of his Son, that he would provide us with everything that we need for this life and for the next. It's hard for us to imagine that. And so Jesus begins this section of the text by saying, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Live in joyful anticipation, fellow redeemed. Live in joyful anticipation of your true wealth. And remember this. Your treasure is not in this world. And your treasure is of the eternal world. Your treasure is in eternity above. He goes on and he says something that's kind of alarming to some people. He says, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy." Now the fanatics who want to read this verse out of context will tell you that you've got to give. Give to the poor. They will say, you don't need those earthly possessions. They're just holding you back. But this isn't what Jesus says here. Not at all. He doesn't say, sell all your possessions and give to the needy. He doesn't give here a new and improved tithing law like they had in the Old Testament. He doesn't say, this much you must give in order to please your heavenly Father. The fanatics think that's what this means. They think that they must give everything away to improve their standing with God. They must swear off earthly possessions. But what they really do is give away the grace of God in their zeal for their own supposed righteousness. To think this way is folly. If you were to sell all that you had and give it all to the needy, that you would be needy. And you would be no closer to God. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Your possessions don't keep you out of heaven. But neither are they your treasure. Keep that in mind. What God gives you to use in this world is not your treasure. And what he gives to other people, that's not your treasure either. If you had all that they had, whether you took it by force or whether they gave it to you because you were needy, if you had all that they had, it still would not be your treasure. You still would not be closer to heaven. Treasure is what we hold dear. It's what we protect above all else. It's what we want to have above all other things. If we treasure earthly things, then they fail, or they're stolen, or a moth eats them, or rust takes them away, or age, passage of time, rots them away. If we fill our lives with things that fall apart, then in the end, we are lifeless dust. It has a lot of lifeless dust. Nothing. How foolish that would be. Now, we Christians are not to treasure money and material possessions. But it's really not the money or material possessions that we treasure anyway. Think carefully. Sometimes you'll hear people say, what good is money if you can't spend it on something that you want? It's not the money itself. It's not the possessions themselves that we are so interested in, but rather, it's what we can do with them. But that's not even the bottom of it yet either. Because what we really want is the ability to choose our own destiny. To do what we want, when we want to do it. That's what we're really looking for. That's what we really want deep down in the sinful nature. And that's where the problem lies with us. What we actually treasure above all else is self. Self-determination above everything else, above neighbor, above God, even above the God who so graciously provides for us. And when our treasure is self, then we want something that's as good as dead. So what is the money bag that does not grow old? What is Jesus talking about? What is the treasure in the heavens that does not fail? What is it that no thief can take and no moth destroy? Well, those questions rule out all the earthly stuff. They rule out wealth, health, food, and clothing, and home, and all such things. In fact, there's only one thing in all the world that cannot and never will change on us. There's only one thing. Jesus said that his word will never fail. Jesus said, not the smallest letter or least stroke of the pen shall be taken from his word. The truth that he really is the Son of God, that will never be taken away from you. The truth that he did actually come from heaven here to this earth to live his life, the perfect life in our stead, and to give that life on the cross, that's accomplished fact. That can never be taken away. The truth that he did rise from the grave on the third day to give us eternal life, that can't be taken away either. That will never change. It is the same yesterday and today and forever. Some people look at that and they say, well, that's not going to pay the bills. That's the great concern that overcomes so many of us. The fear that Jesus is addressing, that fear that we have, it dulls the mind the truth, so that even many Christians pay attention more to salaries, to wages, to grocery bills and gas prices and so on, that they pay little attention to God's word. It's no wonder that nowadays so many of our boys are being discouraged from the ministry. So many of our young men and women are being encouraged more to look at a higher salary and not to look at teaching the word of God and serving. Perhaps they might gain much wealth. Perhaps they might even use it in service. But why are we adults as a whole? Why are we suffering from this problem in our churches? It's because we fall into that. We divert their attention from the treasure that cannot be taken away. Now, certainly God can sort out and will sort out who is going to serve in his kingdom. There's no doubt about that. But God's word, that is so important. Important in our families. Important in our society. There's another big objection to it. But God's word does not give me pleasure. I'd rather spend my time doing this or doing that. Can we imagine saying that to our Lord, who has so graciously given his own Son to pay for our sins? Could we be that ungrateful? Well, that's the state of the sinful nature that is in each and every one of us. God does not want us to have a joyful anticipation that just quickly dies away. He doesn't want us to think about his word and then be distracted by all kinds of other things and be filled with that fear that his disciples had. He commands them, fear not, little flock. He calls them by name. He wants us to know a lifelong, joyful anticipation. He wants us to know that our treasure is in eternity above. Jesus continues with a word picture to describe this joyful anticipation of the true wealth that we have. He says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Stay ready for action. Be thinking about where your treasure is at all times. You're about to receive your inheritance, fellow redeemed. It's right there for you. All that God wants for you, it's all right there. Live with that realization in your heart. It's not some kind of carrot that he's dangling in front of you to try to get you to do something you don't want to do. That's the spin the sinful nature will put on it. That's why Jesus warns us that the time is not known. But you have a new nature. You have the nature of Christ. You have the image of God restored in you. You were reborn by water and the Spirit. God gave you faith so that you believe, so that you understand why Jesus describes the beginning of eternity as the return of the Master who is pleased with his servants. Your treasure is in eternity above, kept for you and soon to be yours. Dear Christians, what will you do with your inheritance? Think about it. Every day, wake up wondering and thinking about it and living in that joyful anticipation of the real wealth that you have. And then you will see that all that has been given you in this life, you will see it all in the light of eternity. As gifts to be used in service to God, the God who loved you, the God who gave his Son for you, the God who will welcome you home, the God who will serve you at his table in that eternal banquet hall in heaven. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all unto everlasting life.